Thanks for downloading this podcast. It is designed to be an entry-level summary to the basic functions of the immune system, and it's neither meant as a in-depth or academic level, nor is it meant as an aid to self-diagnosis. My name is Peter, and I've been a registered nurse for 10 years, and in immunology for 4 years. Thanks for joining me again today. I am going to talk about a completely unbalanced immune system. I admit this is a bit like skipping to the end of a book to read the conclusion, which some people may consider cheating. But I think knowing what happens when immunity is out of control shows really clearly how good everyday immunity is. Last episode, I used a very simple simile for the two broad parts of the immune system. The smart young cop with no gut instinct, and the gruff, world-weary partner with hunches galore, but no natural ability to plan. I'm going to run a little bit more with this today, but I need to add a reminder that, of course, human immunity is much more complex than this helpful simile. Within this little analogy, imagine the smart cop came out of the police academy with fancy modern policing techniques, whilst the innate immune system can doggedly track down simple invaders and tackle them. The adaptive immune system can run DNA, check crime databases, and organise complex investigations. Antibodies are a little like one of these clever crime-fighting techniques, a forensic masterstroke worthy of an episode of CSI. The innate immune system can't make antibodies, but given time and resources, the adaptive immune system can essentially design these tiny little tools that can pinpoint certain infections and bind to them. Once these infections are covered in antibodies, and Lorraine Sompiak uses the example of a Christmas tree covered in decorations, they are much more obvious to the rest of the immune system. In our example, imagine a criminal who is hiding in plain sight. This criminal, or bacteria, is covered in an outer layer, and for this analogy, we can say the criminal is wearing a coat, a collar up. It obscures their face. The gut instinct of the older cop doesn't flag this criminal as a bad guy. Even if by accident the criminal bumps into the older cop, this coat is also too slippery, and the criminal escapes before he can be grabbed. It is only once the younger cop has identified the criminal that his streetwise partner can track him and tackle him much more easily. Antibodies themselves do not destroy bacteria, but they make it much, much more easy for the innate immune system to do so. The clever cop of the partnership has many more tricks up their sleeve, but antibodies are a pretty nifty one. Some people are born with the inability to create antibodies. Some people find themselves through a factor out of their control or because of a other medical procedure unable to produce antibodies. The technical term for these people is antibody deficient, but they may also be referred to as immune deficient. In these cases, the smart cop is unable to use this certain skill to highlight criminals to his partner. In these cases, the criminal in their thick, slippery coat may essentially escape to cause more problems. The innate immune system, our old-fashioned detective, can't catch what it can't see. The innate immune system needs to be pointed in the right direction to do as much good as it can. Against the types of bacteria represented by these criminals in their thick and slippery coats, the innate immune system needs antibodies to decorate the targets. Once this is done, the bacteria can be eaten. And if eating is a term that puts you off your food, the technical term opsonization may be less troublesome. The old school immune system can opsonize bacteria without antibodies, but it is much more effective when they are involved. In this sense, the old school cop is much more effective when working with his book smart partner. So, when a person lacks the ability to make effective antibodies, this part of the process cannot happen. Indeed, patients with no functioning antibodies need frequent antibiotics, including higher strengths and longer courses compared to healthy people. If these infections go untreated, the ongoing ineffective response of the innate immune system can actually cause damage to these people's lungs. This is an example I briefly mentioned before, in which an immune system is unable to turn off. The immune system is highly complex, of course, and I mentioned the smart part does more than just pump out antibodies. This explains why these people are more vulnerable to certain infections, the thick, slippery-coated criminals in the example above, but generally no more vulnerable to other types of bacteria or viral infections. They are protected against these with other parts of the immune system, which do not rely on antibodies. It's a little like a giant game of Jenga. A single brick can be removed and make the tower a lot less steady, but not cause it to fall down completely. A complete collapse will be covered in later episodes, especially with regards to severe immune deficiency. Going back to these patients who have no functional antibodies, there are a few treatment options. Some patients from a very young age may receive a transplant of cells from a relative or a matching donor. Through a complicated process, this can help patients develop this part of their immune system as they grow up. Other people with no functional antibodies may stay reasonably healthy on a regular antibiotic. Some antibiotic medicines are particularly effective against these bad guys in their thick, slippery coats, and being on this type of antibiotic can keep some of these patients suitably protected. For patients who are not suitable for transplant and patients who are not protected from these infections whilst taking a regular antibiotic, the next step is a transfusion of other people's antibodies. This isn't as simple as a donation of blood. One vial of donated antibodies, called immunoglobulin replacement, contains a mixture of thousands of donor antibodies. The idea is that these experienced antibodies replace those the antibody-deficient patient doesn't have. Unlike organ transplant, there is no threat of rejection of the antibodies. Lots of these patients are actually able to treat themselves at home and show few ill effects from the injections. In the vast majority of these patients, it dramatically reduces the risk caused by the typical infections. In our example, a patient receiving replacement antibodies is like a police department where the two detectives receive help from a third party to identify suspects and so have a much greater likelihood of catching them. In conclusion, people can be born missing a part of their immune system, or this can develop due to a medical treatment or another unavoidable factor. If a patient is confirmed to have few or no functional antibodies, they may be prone to certain type of infections. This is a blind spot for the patient's immune system and can cause serious problems from certain infections. The risk of developing these certain infections can be reduced if patients take appropriate prophylactic, i.e. preventative, antibiotics and or receiving antibodies donated from thousands of healthy people. One or both of these things can go a long way to fix the blind spot in someone's immune system sufficiently. Antibody deficiency is diagnosed through a complex set of investigations and history taking. Identifying which bacteria are causing the problems, often through tests on some pretty gunky sputum samples, is a key part of diagnosis, which is often overlooked. As with lots of investigations into the immune system, there are myriad pieces to the puzzle to put together before conclusions can be drawn. Thanks for listening to this episode of Basic Immunology, in which the odd buddy cop movie analogy I started last time continues. In this podcast, I did manage to squeeze in references to Christmas trees and Jenga as a change of pace, though. Other wooden block stacking games are available. I hope the podcast has been of interest. I'm always happy to accept feedback, comments, or complaints.